You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to Friday's podcast from William Hill. This is the Racing Podcast with Jack and Gary Capewell, who's joining me to have a look at Friday's racing. Gary, how are you?
Very good, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, not bad at all. No complaints from me. We're going to have a quick look first at some of the breaking news in the Racing Post. Mm-hmm. Thursday's Racing Post is led by Willie Mullins and the split with Giggingstown.
Obviously 60 horses disappearing from Willie Mullins' team and heading over to various other trainers: Gordon Elliott, Noel Mead, Henry LeBromhead, Mouse Morris and Joseph O'Brien as well. Quite a lot of those trainers already had horses with the operation, but Joseph O'Brien and Henry LeBromhead didn't. 60 horses gone, and the argument has seemingly come over training fees, which Willie Mullins hasn't risen in 10 years apparently, and they decided that they won't be going back there. If you look at, they've had 158 winners together, 60 horses disappearing to other yards, and they had a decent strike rate, 33% strike rate in the last 5 years, and that's 16 Grade 1 victories, four Cheltenham Festival wins, obviously including perhaps the two most prolific horses that are going to be going across, Don Poley and Appleshade, who are so impressive at Aintree and indeed at Punchestown. I don't think William Mullins is going to lose a huge amount of sleep over it, to be perfectly honest. I think this is, obviously, there's, with the Richies being a decent, such a high profile outfit with the Mullins team, with the Ryanair boss Michael O'Leary, Giggingstown obviously having plenty of, there was always a little bit perhaps a slight conflict of interest perhaps, because obviously they are pretty much, with along with JP McManus, the three big powerhouses in terms of ownership over in Ireland. But some nice young horses that are going to be going across as well, so it will obviously make some sort of an impact for the Mullins operation, but something that he felt he had to do. And with Michael O'Leary, he doesn't budge on price, that is for sure. Mm. For a gentleman who charges you to use the toilet on some of his airlines, it doesn't come as a huge shock that he wants things his way. And with Willie Mullins, as you know, he's entitled to raise his train fees. He hasn't done it in 10 years. Mm. So with the way things are in Ireland, I suppose he doesn't, you know, he just wants decent horses in his yard as well. And he, I suppose, is one way of getting rid of some of the lesser lights perhaps. But ultimately, he's paid the price and lost 60 other horses.
Yeah, he's lost a few good ones as well there, which will be interesting come the Cheltenham Festival. But you imagine, as you alluded to there, there's still a string of great horses in the Mullins yard that we look forward to seeing come March and probably before.
Yeah, exactly. You know, obviously, as I was mentioning, the Richies have got a huge pool of horses with Willie Mullins, and obviously a lot of decent horses as well. So be interesting to see how Willie campaigns some of his horses now, because obviously he came over to the UK quite a bit last year. Whether he will need to do so much now with not quite so many horses, we'll see. But we will learn more over the coming weeks and months, and I'm sure there's probably a little bit more to the story, which may well break at some point as well.
Yep, absolutely. Gordon Elliott as well, benefiting hugely from a few of those horses going to his yard. He, of course, likes to bring horses over to the UK as well, to some of the northern tracks, doesn't he? So we might see a couple of them too.
We may well, yeah.
Retirement as well for Air Force Blue. Always a shame when a Group 1 horse retires, but it's the end of the road.
Yeah, obviously the Dewhurst winner a couple of years ago, Phoenix Stakes and National Stakes winner, last year, of course, wasn't it? Like a lot of these horses, he hasn't seemingly trained on to his three-year-old campaign. was odds on for the Guineas and hasn't appeared to be the same sort of horse since. He was a very good juvenile, but he hasn't sort of continued with any sort of progression at all. In fact, he's very much badly regressed. And I think it makes sense to retire him now because there's seemingly no point in campaigning him with his heart seemingly not in the job anymore.
Yep. Heartbreak City going for the Melbourne Cup is the other thing that caught my eye in the Racing Post on Thursday.
Yeah, obviously the Ebor winner, Jubilous Scenes, after he won the Ebor at York a couple of, about a month ago or so now, wasn't it?
Feels like a long time ago. It probably wasn't, to be fair.
Yeah. Some of the Australians have bought a share in this horse as well. He's in quarantine now, and he won't be running in the Cesarewitch because of the quarantine that he has to go in before he ships out to Melbourne. He's a very interesting runner in the race, isn't he? Obviously, there's a new partnership been formed, just sort of general sort of 25-1 shot for the Melbourne Cup. But he's an improving horse, and he's with a decent, with Tony Martin training him. He's a pretty shrewd operator. Mm. It's not a huge shot to see him take up this engagement instead of the Cesarewitch, because it's obviously worth a lot more money and he may not well be in the same form again. So it doesn't surprise me that he's going, and the Australians, some Australians obviously bought a share in him, so the ideal sort of horse for them, really. Typical horse that stays well, and they're the type of horse that tend to do well. You look at the previous list of Melbourne Cup winners, quite a lot of them were trained in the UK and then went over there and seemingly improved a good bit. So he's a fascinating runner. We're, 5 weeks away, I think, now from that race, aren't we?
Yeah, looking forward to seeing how he goes there over in Australia. We're going to have a look at races closer to the time, though. In fact, on Friday, 3 for Mascot and a race from Fontwell as well as the jump season starts to click into gear. The 3:45 and the 4:20 from Ascot coming up. But the first race we're going to take a peek at is the 3:10. It's a Class 2 race. It's over the 6 furlongs. And at the moment, at the time of recording, 11 are going to post.
Yeah, this race won in very impressive fashion last year by the Tin Man. Whether we have a future Tin Man in here or not remains to be seen. But we've got some nice progressive three-year-olds in the lineup. Starting with the top weight, Kudrytsi. Won 3 times this year. He's a previous course to distance winner, won here on his penultimate outing, and was 6th here on his most recent contest. Very hardy, just wonder whether he might be vulnerable to one of the ones more progressive horses towards the foot of the weights. Ornate's been very consistent, dropping back down to 6 furlongs for the first time in a while. Goes up in trip for the first time, rather I should say, to 6 furlongs. Was 2nd at Beverley when last seen. Yard obviously continuing good form. Vibrant Cords for the in-form Henry Candy team. Only got the 1 victory to his name. Wasn't beaten far at Thirst, though, last time out. Another interesting runner. I think the 2 to concentrate on for me, though, are the 2 at the foot of the weights. Symposium, who's won at Brighton and Goodwood since the cheap pieces have been fitted fairly recently. Should imagine a bold bid for the hat-trick should have been made here. But I'm actually going to go for the Fanshawe runner, right down at the bottom. Strictly speaking, a couple of pounds out of the weights here, Mazzini. But won at Newcastle on his penultimate outing and didn't get a clear run through at Yarmouth last time out. I think he's better than that, and I think he might be a fairish shorter price as well. Obviously, James Fanshawe won the race last year. George Wood actually claims £5 off this horse's back, so in effect, he's not actually that badly in at the weights, because I think George Wood's £5 claim is pretty good value. So I'll take a chance on Mazzini in what is a pretty open-looking sprint handicap at Ascot. Good little race to look forward to.
Yep, a good one. And Mazzini, the selection in the 3:10 from Ascot. Right, we move on to the following race, which is a listed race, and there are 7 runners at the moment taking on the 1 mile and 6 furlongs. £20,000 is the prize for the winner here, but who's it going to be?
Good little race. Platitude was a winner on his most recent outing at Goodwood. That was in listed company. I don't think it was that stronger a race, though, and he obviously has a penalty to carry. Aliasa was pretty disappointing at Doncaster 3 weeks ago, had landed the hat-trick at Salisbury prior to that. Fireglow ran well, obviously, in the 1,000 guineas and wasn't beaten too far in that, and landed a listed contest at Newmarket prior to finishing pretty well down the field in the Yorkshire Oaks. Should stay, I think, as well. Likewise, Novelina, who was a winner at Musselburgh earlier on this month, and that was over this trip, so there's no worries about the trip with that one. Another one that should be suited by going up in trip is Great and Small, who won at Chester in July and was second at Newmarket on her handicap debut. She's interesting, but to be perfectly honest, the eye is very much drawn to the Dermot Wild runner, Adoon, who made a winning racecourse debut at Listowel fairly impressively a fortnight ago. Goes up in trip, but I don't think that will be an issue, by the way, that he went all the way through to the line there. And Dermot Weld obviously doesn't run too many here over in this country. Won by 4 3/4 lengths, and it was a very easy 4 3/4 lengths as well. The ground will be slightly different. It was heavy at Listowel, but he's a well-bred horse, and I don't think the quicker ground is going to be too much of an inconvenience to him. I think he looked all class when he won that race at Listowel. So Adoon in the Noel Merler Stakes at 3:45.
Okay, Adoon the selection in the 3:45. Moving on to 35 minutes later, and it's the 4:20 from Ascot. This is a class three race. It's over the 7 furlongs and slightly larger field for you to sift through here.
Yeah, good little contest this. Brave Hero's got blinkers on for the first time. Wore a visor at Yarmouth when winning there when last seen. He's got top weight to shoulder. I think might just be slightly vulnerable to those a little bit lower down in the weight. So Fintine Temeraire was a winner at Newmarket last time. Has gone up £4 in the weight for that success. Another one that very much has to be respected. Likewise, Run to the Hills, who won at Thirsk when last seen. It's gone up £8 for that particular victory. Might just be vulnerable to something, again, slightly better handicapped. Al Benathy has been a bit disappointing this campaign. I certainly think he's capable of better. He was a beaten favourite at Sandown when last seen. Prior to that, had finished quite a good second at Haydock prior to that. Explosive Power would have made more appeal if there was a bit of digging in the ground. It's not been a great season for Marco Botti, to be fair, but I'm going to go for his runner here, Misty Lord. I know both his victories have come on the all-weather, but all-weather horses or horses with a good record on the all-weather have a fantastic record at Ascot as well. A winner, or second at Yarmouth, rather, I should say, when last seen. He's never been out of the first three in his career thus far. All his runs this season, he's been in the first three. Obviously, as I say, he has to prove that he handles the surface, but he was second at Newmarket on his seasonal return by beaten by a horse called Red T, who went on to win subsequently, I'm pretty sure, or has certainly held its form fairly well since. That form at Yarmouth wasn't beaten far behind Fastnet Tempest when last seen. He's going down in trip, but it's a stiff 7 furlongs here at Ascot, and they're likely to go probably a better gallop than they did in that race at Yarmouth, so the race will probably be run to suit him. So I'm going to go for Misty Lord in the 4:24, Marco Botti and Harry Bentley.
Misty Lord, the selection then in the 4:20 at Ascot, the last race we're going to look at that venue and on the flat. We move to the jumps where we're off to Fontwell for the 4 o'clock. This is the best race on the card, a Class 2 race with a prize of just over £11,500 over the 2 miles and 1 furlong. Who's going to come out on top in this handicap chase?
Yeah, not a bad little contest, I don't think, here. The first time cheap pieces go on to Theatre Flame for the David Bridgewater team. This horse has been second on his last two outings. They came at Worcester behind Stephanie Francis and in a small field at Stratford when last seen, making his handicap debut over fences. Interesting at the foot of the weights. Lord Ben used to be trained by Henry the Bromhead. I still wonder whether he might need to drop a little bit in the weights. Not half bad, has won a couple of times already this season, has to be respected. Likewise, Purple and Gold, who seems to be fairly consistent too. I definitely think there's more to come from Raven's Power, albeit he's not really bred to be running over fences, it has to be said, a son of Raven's Pass, but I still think there's a bit more to come for him. But I'm going to go for Workbench, the Skelton runner. Another one who's dropped a little bit in the weights. If you go back, he actually won this corresponding race last year, beating Purple and Gold off a mark of 128. He's still £4 above that last winning mark. But he arrives here on the back of a second here over hurdles. I think they've probably much targeted this race with him. He's got a good record here as well. If you look, actually, he's actually won this race for the last 2 years. He beat King Edmund in this race a couple of years ago. So they've clearly targeted him with this race in mind, and he's had a similar sort of build-up to 2 years ago when he ran over hurdles here before winning this race, and he was second, as I say, behind Crimson Arc here over hurdles back at the beginning of this month. So this race, I'm going to imagine, has clearly been the aim for him for some time. So Workbench in this is the selection in the 4 o'clock.
Workbench then, the selection for Gary in the 4 o'clock at Fontwell. That's all the races we're going to look at on Friday's card. Gary, thank you very much for your
pleasure.
Thoughts and good luck with all of your bets. Don't forget you can listen to all of the podcasts at williamhill.com. The Racing Podcast will be back for Saturday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.